Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap radio network. What a blessing it is to be able to come your way today, wherever you might be. We truly do thank you for the pleasure of your company. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us today. And a lot of things happening around us. I'm telling you, things just are rolling right off of the newsreels like you cannot believe. But yesterday we talked a lot about Representative John Boehner stepping down from his particular position as Speaker in the House. And so today, in the second and the third segment, we are going to be having with us a fellow who knows a lot about what takes place in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and that is the Honorable Tom DeLay, who is a former GOP majority leader. He served in Congress from 1985 to 2006, representing Texas District 22, and he served as majority leader from 2003 to 2005. And I'm certain that most of you know of Tom DeLay, but one of the things you may not know about him is that he's a tremendous man of prayer, spends a lot of time on his knees with the Lord, and he's going to be with us today to talk a little bit about John Boehner's stepping down from the Speaker's position as well as his resignation from the House. Also tomorrow we're going to be having on with us Representative Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who really was one who probably did a lot that resulted in John Boehner stepping down from the Speaker's position. So we will be talking with him tomorrow. You won't want to miss tomorrow's program as well. But anyway, just a number of things taking place all around us. And Sam, I want to go to you first here this afternoon. It appears as though President Barack Obama is really working on his legacy, you know. He wants to leave the office of the presidency in January of 2017, having said that he's done something. And it looks like he is going to solve the problem of global warming with the Paris Accord later on this particular year. And he'll probably do that without Congress. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, Gary, no surprise, and you're exactly correct. I think we're going to note and perhaps look back at the speeches before the United Nations yesterday, both by our president, by the others that were there, and by Vladimir Putin, and perhaps say that they were perhaps the most momentous days in transition to a new world, and not necessarily a new good world that we have had in our lifetime. But this enamorment with the world nations to swing their powers and swing their focus around to the environment. And remember, the Pope actually talked about that, and he said it was urgent that we deal with the global warming environmental component, and he laid the moral basis for it when he spoke before the United Nations. Well, our president gets up and further takes that down the road and made it clear that he's going to go forward by executive order and try to sign on to this Paris Accord, because he knows that there's not the support in either the House or the Senate to give it to him. So, gentlemen, put this way, tyranny at the top continues to defy Congress and the constitutional rule of order. And just as we've seen with the Iran bomb deal, we are going to see again with this deal, and it is changing the complexion of all that we know. And there's a whole lot more we can go. We can talk about Russia going into Syria, but that component of this piece of what the president's doing, he didn't learn a lesson in the Iran bomb deal, gentlemen. He's going to try and do it again, and he's going to plow ahead regardless.
You know, it's interesting. Of course, we have Tom DeLay coming up in the next segment, and he would probably be the one to ask about this. But, you know, with it being announced that Barack Obama is really going to go into this global warming Paris Accord later on this year and with an executive agreement try to, you know, move things along according to his own agenda, Don't you think that the Senate and the House would already begin to start to try to stop him from doing that, Sam, or will they just sit back and let it happen?
Well, I know that when Tom comes up, I'm going to want to ask him that question because, Gary, the answer to that is no, I don't believe that they will. Why do I say that? It's because they haven't done it heretofore. And the same kinds of thing, I think, that stand in a way, be it fear or other threats perhaps of one type or another, against them stepping forward, I think that they're so compromised that short of a powerful speaker perhaps and perhaps a powerful new majority leader in the Senate, I don't think that they have the wherewithal, not the wherewithal, they have the authority, but I don't think they have the backbone, nor the courage, nor the conviction of our own law and their own understanding of their duties in order to take this on. And, Gary, it's not a really a good position, so I'm not hopeful unless God were to raise up strong leaders in these two positions.
Well, you know, we can pray for that right now because we know that John Boehner is out, and of course we know that there are those who would like to see Mitch McConnell replaced, so we can pray that God will raise up strong leaders. But along with Obama talking about the global warming, also in his speech he expressed what he would like to do there in Syria. And this is a statement that he gave. He said, "The United States is prepared to work with any nation, including Russia and Iran, to resolve the conflict." He went on to say, "We must recognize that there cannot be, after so much bloodshed, so much carnage, a return to the pre-war status quo." Let me ask it this way. Do you think it's a good thing for him to have an alignment with Russia and Iran to deal with Syria?
Gary, the sad fact is this Obama administration and this policy have moved us out of a presence in the Middle East, created a void. And I think he's been intentional about trying to create voids in Libya, voids in Egypt, voids in Syria. And into them, somebody has got to step. But the United States has not stepped and exerted our continued strength. In fact, it's been an invitation, to my opinion, a blinking green light to Russia. And Russia has stepped in with open arms, with great willingness, and they have, gentlemen, they have weapons on the ground now that actually are ahead of what we have. They have major weapons. They're equipping Hezbollah. They are giving tanks to Hezbollah. They have submarines. They have aircraft carriers. They have men on the ground, and they are bent, I believe, in encircling, not just taking out ISIS, but their bent, I believe, is moving towards Israel. And this administration has opened that door for that, Gary and Dave.
You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, Dave, and they said, well, you know, back in World War II, the United States and Russia came against Hitler. Why can't they today come against Assad? Your thoughts on that one?
Well, Gary, this is a different question right now than back then, and this gentleman Putin is bad news. Even as we speak, gentlemen, Petro Poroshenko, the Ukrainian president, is at the UN laying out a case for why the United States needs to stand strongly against Russia. So gentlemen, these are intriguing days, to say the least.
Well, they are, and we'll keep you folks informed, so that's why you need to stay tuned to Stand at the Gap today. We are going to take a break, and then we will be back with the Honorable Tom DeLay, former GOP Majority Leader, and he'll have a lot of good information for us. So stay tuned. We will be back in about 4 minutes with another segment of Stand in the Gap today.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Late September in the year 1622, Squanto died. He helped the pilgrims survive in the New World as a special instrument sent of God. Governor Bradford wrote, "The winds drove their boat in. Captain Standish fell ill with fever. They could not get round the shoals of Cape Cod for flats and breakers, so they put into Manamoic Bay. Here, Squanto fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much at the nose, which the Indians take for a symptom of death. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven, and bequeathed several of his things to his English friends. His death was a great loss."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank you for being there by the radio, and of course, we would encourage you, when you have the opportunity, to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular radio program, as well as two others produced by the American Pastors Network. And it's also at that particular website that you can correspond with us, and we love hearing from you, our listeners. Well, as I mentioned in the last segment, we are delighted to have with us the Honorable Tom DeLay, who served in Congress from about 1985 to 2006. During that time, he was also the majority leader for the GOP in, well, I guess it was the years 2003 to 2005. He's a great man, a godly man, a man of great character, a man of prayer. Congressman, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's a delight to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's great to be with you. I am just so excited about what you guys are doing with Stand in the Gap.
Well, we are too, and we certainly thank you for being with us. And I'm going to defer to Sam here. And Sam, why don't you begin the questioning with Tom, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. And Congressman, great to have you here with us.
Thank you,
we have a lot that we want to go over, brother.
Yeah, really.
And so we're going to go quickly. But let me go into it, because obviously those who are listening, Tom, understand what's happening in Washington. Or let's put it this way. They don't necessarily understand, but they know that there's that John Boehner, Speaker John Boehner, has announced his resignation. You, as a congressman who served in the number often referred to as number two position as majority leader, and some would say it's actually a number one position because you actually in that position control what legislation comes to the floor. But that being the case, you've been in a hot spot. You've been in a hot house, Congress, and you've seen and run up against some of the worst pressure that the political establishment can bring to bear against someone who lifts their head above the fray. My question, my first question to you is this, Tom. How significant is it that Speaker Boehner would appear to abruptly announced his resignation midterm, and what do you think really caused him to back out? Lots of speculation out there, but what do you think really happened, and is it as unusual as it seems?
No, it's not that unusual. A similar thing happened to Newt Gingrich. He was taken out by a group of members that would not vote for him for speaker, so he had to resign too, or he didn't have to. He chose to. I think the bottom line is two things. I think particularly watching John Boehner and the speaking he's done in the last few days, he is he's fed up. He's had enough of the pressure that's been put on him. He didn't want to go through a motion to vacate the chair, which basically is a vote to remove him from office. He just gave up. I think also the timing was good on his part. I think it was a selfless thing on his part, the timing, because this would have been horrible next year during an election year to see happen. And at least now they can, the Republicans in the House can back up, take a deep breath, and figure out where they're going to head and what they're going to do over the next couple of months.
Well, you know, it's interesting to have watched what was taking place down there. And let me just ask you this before we go to Dave with a question, Tom, and that is, how would you grade John Boehner as a speaker? Obviously there are those on both sides of the coin. Some have called him a great patriot and a great leader, and others have said other things. How would you rate John Boehner as a speaker?
Well, I don't know that I want to rate him. We had different leadership styles, completely different. Mm-hmm. What people may have forgotten, he was in that original leadership that I was the majority whip in, that took the majority for the first time in 60 years in 1995. He only lasted one term, and the members removed him from office because of his leadership style. And then he rebuilt himself up and replaced me as leader when I resigned my office because I had all these legal problems, the criminalization of politics coming after me. So that's how he got the leadership back in a quick special election. He keeps everything to his close to him. He only has a few members that he relates to and works with, and he makes all the decisions within his office. That's the worst thing that can happen, and you see the results where the caucus of the Republicans are all fractured. They're in different camps. They're not working together because there is absolutely no leadership from John Boehner's. My leadership style was to constantly bring members in. Most importantly and this is something Boehner refused to do, I forced the leadership of the House and the Senate to have an agenda of what we were going to do in the upcoming year. And when you have an agenda, everybody gets to work on that agenda. Once it's approved, everybody has ownership, and you can move forward, and the American people know where you want to take the country. Boehner, because he's paranoid, just absolutely would refuse to have an agenda, and he ran everything from the hip.
Tom, this is Dave Kistler. I want to ask you a question about the upcoming speaker. There seems to be a natural ascent when the speaker steps out. The gentleman who's been the majority leader, which in this case is Kevin McCarthy, would appear to be the natural choice to fill the speakership role. And, of course, he has announced that he is running and vying for that position. There are others out there, Congressman Daniel Webster and others, that are announcing that they're going to vie for the position as well. Is it a foregone conclusion that McCarthy, because of his majority position, is it just a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the next speaker, or is there going to be some degree of debate on this? And maybe speak to a little bit of the process of how all this takes place.
Well, first of all, let me say Kevin McCarthy has a distinct advantage by being the majority leader because he's been working with all these members. I mean, just the advantage of having all the members' personal telephones and cell phone numbers allows you to contact them immediately. As soon as Kevin McCarthy was told by Boehner that he was resigning, McCarthy immediately turned on his team and started contacting members to tie down his speakership. And word is that he's probably got the votes by now. It doesn't take long when you have a list and a whip team and an organization put together to go out and talk to members and talk to the media and run a very sophisticated campaign. So, yes, Kevin McCarthy probably has a distinct advantage. However, this is a different time. You have about 100 members or more that are upset with the present leadership, that want to see something different. They want to see a different style. Maybe Kevin McCarthy is telling them that there will be a different style. I don't know what he's telling them because I'm not there. And then there's another however. The problem is those that could step up and challenge Kevin McCarthy are not running. Daniel Webster's a wonderful guy, but he's only got, two terms under his belt. And any member that has more than two terms is not going to trust him to be the speaker. It takes a long time to build that trust and that relationship with the members for them to trust you enough to put you into that kind of position. So the problem we're having is no one that could provide the leadership and provide the alternative to Kevin McCarthy is standing up and running.
Mm. We keep hearing reports that there's a lot of chaos going on in the caucus. I can imagine that it is rather chaotic down there right now then, Tom.
Well, it's been chaotic. Without leadership, chaos reigns, and that's what's been going on for the last 3 years. It's just total chaos. All the members, there's with no one leading, no agenda, no one knowing what their role they can play. They're all free agents to go do whatever they want to do. Not that you can control people, but when you're herding, we make a joke about herding cats. That describes trying to lead the Republican conference in the House of Representatives. When you're herding cats, you have to reach out and include everybody and bring everybody in and move in a certain direction that everybody is willing to go. You can't demand anything. Each member has their own constituency and their own vote. And if you don't provide leadership, chaos reigns. That's what's
going on
right now.
Sounds to me like it's worse than leading a Baptist church.
Oh, it's definitely worse. Even though that's the hardest job there is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Honorable Tom DeLay. Of course, he was in the United States Congress for many years, from 1985 to 2006. We're going to take a break, and then in about 3 minutes, we will be back with another segment of Stand at the Gap Today. Tom has been so gracious to spend another segment with us, and so we'll look forward to hearing more from a man of great authority. So don't go too far away. This is Stand in the Gap Today, a ministry of the American Pastors Network. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, right after this break.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards testifying about undercover videos of employees talking about fetal tissue research with a fake buyer.
The latest smear campaign is based on efforts by our opponents to entrap our doctors and clinicians into breaking the law. And once again, our opponents failed.
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan.
If the videos were selectively edited, heavily edited, if this was entrapment, if this was all untrue, then why'd you apologize?
She says that doctors shouldn't have been talking about clinical matters in a non-confidential setting. Paul Jackson, wanted for the kidnapping and torture of two women more than 25 years ago, will be returned to Oregon after deportation hearings in Mexico. That's where he was caught. His brother serving a 108-year prison sentence since surrendering in 2006. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I hope you've taken time to check out our website, which is located at pafamily.org. It's updated nearly every day and features the latest on pro-family news, action alerts, event updates, and informative blog posts about the issues that you care about. The website also includes our powerful Citizen Action Center, an easy-to-use tool to help you communicate with your elected officials from the White House to the State House and even at your county levels. So when an issue that you care about, the sanctity of life or property tax reduction, religious liberty, school choice, whatever it may be, pafamily.org has the tools you need to be an informed and involved Pennsylvania citizen. Be sure to check it out.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back to each and every one of you listening all across the country on Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull. And, of course, today we are delighted to have with us the Honorable Tom DeLay, who, of course, served in Congress from Texas for a good number of years. And he's been answering all sorts of questions for us here today with regard to what's going on in Washington and the stepping down of John Boehner from the Speaker's position in the House of Representatives. Sam, I'll defer to you with another question, sir.
Okay, thank you, Gary. And Tom, great to have you here with us on the program. I'm going to ask you this question just from somebody perspective, someone who's been there for a long time, and we actually referenced it in the first part of this program, where the president has said he's going to now go around Congress again. An executive order, he's going to do Congress's job, and he's just going to do it. And it causes a lot of people across the country to say, what in the world is wrong with Congress? Why don't they challenge this? Why don't they uphold their constitutional oath and to respond to these things from somebody who has been there and has seen these things happen? Why is that, Tom? Why is it that there seems to be such a reluctance to actually engage these violations of constitutional jurisdiction?
Well, there's many reasons, Sam, not the least of which, and the most important, is most members of Congress have no idea what the Constitution is all about. They haven't studied it. Even if they've gone to law school, they haven't studied it. I can guarantee you it always shocks me that the lack of knowledge and the incredible ignorance of our elected officials about the Constitution. For instance, I passed a bill limiting the jurisdiction of the courts and telling the courts what cases they can hear and can't hear. And the most surprised people that I could do that were the members of Congress. It's very clearly in Article 3 that the Congress has the power to tell the courts what cases they can hear. And I could go on and on. We don't have time here. But it is a complete ignorance. Second, it is a complete lack of courage. They're scared to death of the media. They're scared to death they'll lose their majorities or their own seats. Sam, we're in a constitutional crisis. The American people need to wake up and understand that. We have a lawless president. We have a lawless Supreme Court, and we have a Congress that has no clue what their authority is under the Constitution. And if they had a clue what their authority was under the Constitution, they would not exercise it. That's the problem. Just take shutting down the government. Do you realize that when we first took over, we shut down the government? Well, actually, the president does when he vetoes a bill. But we sent him bills he didn't like. He shut down the government 13 times. And you know what? Nobody missed it.
That's right. No, you're right, Tom. You're right. Nobody missed it. But you did what you were supposed to do. I know, Dave, you're chomping at the bit. You got a question for Tom? Follow up on that.
Well, I just want to say this, Tom. I appreciate so much what you said. Your statement was declared so unequivocally just now about the lack of leadership in Congress that you provided when you were there. That is what is so egregiously absent in the Congress right now. And it is something that is irritating those of us that live out on Main Street. In fact, let me ask this. I hear this term bandied about all the time. I talk to people as an evangelist in church, outside church, and they talk about the establishment GOP. I don't know who coined the term, but it's probably an appropriate one. Is there an establishment influence in Congress that is unbreakable right now, or is it possible for those that are genuine constitutional conservatives to have a voice and break this power, this grip that the establishment, quote-unquote, has had on even the GOP for so long?
Well, David, you can see that the answer to your question is yes. It's happening as we speak. Everybody points to 50, 60 members that, you know, are bringing down rules and voting against bills and forcing the leadership to do something else, and those are the same guys that threatened the motion to vacate the chair, and the result was Boehner is gone. So a minority, well organized and led, can affect a lot of things. And I guarantee you, the quote establishment, the Boehner and McConnell types, are two things are happening with them. One is they are flaming mad. They absolutely hate these people that are standing on the Constitution and demanding courage. But secondly, they're absolutely full of fear because they see what's happening, and there's going to be huge fights over the next few weeks, if not months, and for the rest of the year until another election within the caucuses. But if the good guys will just stand firm and use the rules to their favor, that they're going to get a lot of things done. Even if they have to refuse to open the government, period, it's going to be very difficult for McConnell and whoever the new leader is to run circles around these members. And the good news is the good guys are smelling blood, and they're seeing that if they just stick together and move together, they can accomplish some things.
Tom, I'm going to come back and ask you another follow-up to that.
Okay.
You mentioned that very few, and I found it when I was in legislature as well, very few actually understood what the Constitution says, even though they took an oath to do so.
Right.
But so that really establishes a pretty weak foundation for where to go. But you were there as a believer.
Right.
You were there as somebody who knew also what the Bible says. You knew the biblical underpinnings of our Constitution.
Yeah.
How did you find that personally, that your biblical convictions interfacing with and controlling your actions there? And I'll throw it in this perspective. Do we have enough who actually understand biblical convictions and the Constitution sufficiently to be able even to lead? Spilling blood is not sufficient. Understanding what your duty is what's really required to lead. Talk to us about what that was really like.
Well, I put God in the center of everything, just by my worldview. If you know, I get up every morning and I have a quiet time of anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, even though you know my time was limited. I focused on God's word. I wanted to walk with Him during the day. I learned how to wait on Him. I focused on Him all day long. So any decision that I made, I felt very comfortable. I was walking in His will. And of course, that translates into a disposition, an aura about you that people want to imitate. But it's pretty simple. God gave us our rights, and the Constitution protects our God-given rights. So if God is in the center of it, then and you're standing on that Constitution, then you're moving in the right direction. And of course, I would made sure I was in a leadership position to where I could play the politics within the conference and the caucus and the leadership table to make things happen. And I tried to lead my members. I mean, I held Bible studies, I held lectures, bringing the great believers to town. I mentioned to you earlier when things were really rough after 2011, I sealed off the rotunda and invited any leaders that wanted to come and get on our knees. And we spent 3 hours on our knees claiming 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Praise the Lord.
And so that kind of leadership, and to answer your question, Sam, yeah. In the last two election cycles, the people, and what's happening, this isn't elected officials. This is the people rising up and electing people that represent them. This is all coming from the bottom up. That's why the establishment is really upset, because the people are demanding something they don't want to give them. And things are happening because the people are standing up and demanding that we have a constitutional government that has God at the center. And so that's what's happening here, and things are flushing out, and I'm just very excited about what's happening. I'm not fearful at all, because there are more Bible believing members of Congress probably right now than there has been in recent times.
Go ahead, Tom. I was going to say, along that line, we also know that, every Wednesday night they hold church in the house there somewhere, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. And there's Bible studies all over the place. You have a prayer caucus that starts the week out by bringing members in and getting them on their knees before they even start their week. I mean, God is at the center of a lot of these members every day. And the problem is, I just wish there was enough of them, 218 of them in the House,
yeah,
so they elect a God-fearing speaker.
Amen. Amen.
We're with
Amen.
You on that. Honorable Tom DeLay with us today, ladies and gentlemen. An excellent congressman. Wish he was back in there. And by the way, an excellent dancer, too, on Dancing with the Stars, Tom. I've got to say that.
Well, thank you. You don't know anything about dancing.
God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Keep up the good work there. We appreciate you very much. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after these messages in just a couple of minutes.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come. Expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, you just heard an interview with Honorable Tom DeLay, a real man of God. And, of course, you know the encouraging thing that he said is that there are a good number of born-again believers there in Congress, and we can thank the Lord for that. Every now and then somebody will come along and say, well, throw them all out down there. Well, don't throw them all out, because God has a remnant of true believers there in Congress as well as over in the Senate. And we need to thank the Lord for them. We need to pray for them. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, on the program, we will also be having another fellow who's a current congressman. We'll be having with us Representative Mark Meadows from North Carolina, who I believe, Dave, is your congressman. And he's going to be sharing a little bit about what's going on down there now with Boehner's stepping down from the speaker position. And, Dave, that ought to be quite an interesting discussion in and of itself.
Well, Gary, it'll be an outstanding follow-up to today's interview, and I don't know about you gentlemen. In fact, I do know about you gentlemen, but the fact is Tom DeLay did an outstanding job when he was in the Congress, and today I think people got an inside look at his heart, not only for the Constitution, for the country, but for God himself, and so it was just a great, great interview. Tomorrow will be an outstanding follow-up on that. Really, guys, to be honest with you, the man that has driven the automobile down the road to get this ouster of John Boehner has been Congressman Meadows, and yes, Brother Gary, he is my congressman, and so this is going to be a great, great second day to really help our listening audience understand what has taken place and what is going to be taking place as the new speaker is installed.
Absolutely, and we'll be looking forward to that. I want to shift gears just a little bit here. I don't really want to end on a negative topic, but I guess maybe I will. Ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you, if you can, to look for a book that's entitled Inside ISIS, 10 Days in the Islamic State. Actually, it's Inside ICE, I-S, 10 Days in the Islamic State. It's a book that's written by a German reporter by the name of Jürgen Todenhofer, and he is talking about the fact that nuclear annihilation is something that may come from ISIS. As a matter of fact, we find that UK's Daily Express reports this, and I quote, the terrorists plan on killing several hundred million people. You heard that, several hundred million people. The West is drastically underestimating the power of ISIS. ISIS intends to get its hands on nuclear weapons, and they are basically calling for a, quote, nuclear tsunami preparing the largest religious cleansing in history, end quote. Sam, you know, there's a lot more that we could say with regard to that, but that's serious business in light of the fact that we've been hearing reports that some of the reports that really have been put out with regard to ISIS have been skewed a little bit. And, you know, it's really a lot worse than what we as the American people comprehend, I believe.
Gary, you know, the ground is changing much faster. Our unfortunate news services in this country have glossed over so much. I mean, when we put this program together, we look at news sources from around the world. There are news sources that come out of Jerusalem and Israel, for example, that is very accurate, that put a lot of things out there. There's some things that come out of the UK. Our media tends not to cover the kinds of things that are of real importance. And yes, Gary, what we're seeing happening in Europe with all of these tens of thousands of migrants, they call them, coming out of the Middle East up into Europe. You know, the bulk of these are males in the 17 to 25 range. These are men. They're not in search of jobs. They're in search of other things. And Europe itself is being destabilized as we speak. This pressure, this effort against, really, I think, we talk about here, the God of heaven and the Western world, because we have heretofore held to Jehovah God and Israel. These two things together, these pressures are something that are building from all around, and we simply can't ignore it. We have to be aware of it. And unfortunately, our administration right now in Washington, who does have a constitutional and biblical duty to protect our people, part of that means informing them, are withholding information, twisting information, and they're running away from these sources in the Middle East and opening up a void, which we talked earlier about, to which Russia rushes in to fill, and they're working together with these haters of Israel, of which ISIS is a part. So, yes, Gary, these are all things that remind us biblically what we're told about, but these are real things. They're real things.
Well, they are real things, and of course we are seeing, I believe, prophecy coming into fruition here in so many, many ways, and we've talked about that a lot on this particular program. But, you know, you almost have to think that there is a satanic element here, Dave. And what I mean by that is that, you know, with ISIS growing the way that it has been, and it's growing even faster than what we can even imagine, we, the United States of America, could have brought them to an end a couple of years ago had we been willing to do it. We maybe still could do it to a great degree. But it's just like we're sitting back and watching it take over the world. You know, do you think that that might be an indication of satanic power in high places, just giving our leaders a blindness, as it were, to how bad ISIS really is, to the point that they're doing nothing about it, or I should say very little about it?
Well, Gary, there are biblical examples, both Old and New Testament, of deceptive spirits that were sent out, especially in the Old Testament, to blind leaders so that they did not see and were fully unaware of what was about to take place. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. When you read this article by Mr. Todenhofer, he says this, and I'm quoting directly, each day hundreds of willing fighters, hundreds arrive from all over the world to that region of the world to willingly join with ISIS. And then he talks about how they sleep in the shells of bombed-out houses, and they're so spread out over such a wide area that the U.S. airstrikes that our administration claims are being effective, they would literally have had to reduce some of these cities, Mosul being one of them, to literally ruins in order to kill off these guys. In other words, the airstrikes are being basically, they're accomplishing nothing. So, Gary, yes, there has to be a blindness that has crept over the eyes and a blindness that has affected the minds and hearts of our leadership. Or, Gary, or something even more sinister, our leadership is complicit with this kind of thing and actually does not want to see America protected. I understand that's a strong statement, but it has to be one of the two. This is a serious, serious problem, and it underscores why we need the kind of leadership in the House that we talked about in the early part of the program to deal with this. Otherwise, America is going to be incredibly vulnerable.
Final thoughts, Sam?
Well, Gary, all the reason why we understand when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the evil bear rule, the people mourn. We have had the ability to elect people of righteous standing in office, and by and large, God's people have been asleep. We'd better wake up right now, but there is an answer there. God raises up his people. Let's pray he raises up his people, and he raises them up now.
Amen. The book is entitled Inside the ISIS State. That would be Inside IS. 10 days, I'm sorry, the Islamic State. 10 days in the Islamic State by Jürgen Todenhofer, and I would encourage you maybe to try to get it and read it. Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back in about 23 hours with another program, including Representative Mark Meadows. I trust that you'll be with us then. Until then, this is Stand in the Gap. Today, Stand in the Gap for Faith and Freedom, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.